This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Tonight, Rick Scott, the governor of Florida, declaring a state of emergency not for a hurricane, but for Richard Spencer, right ahead of his speech at the University of Florida, renting a facility there anyway. And he is, of course, a white supremacist. Hundreds of people are expected to descend on the area Thursday and overflow into the parking lot, and protests from other groups as well. The threat of violence was enough to push him over the top and to say, no, we're going to go for it. We're going to make sure that we have plenty of law enforcement and we're not messing around with this. Speaking of not messing around, the NFL, they don't like someone messing with their greenbacks. So the commissioner, Roger Goodell, and the Players Association executive director, D. Maurice Smith, says the players are showing not disrespect for the flag and the veterans. But what's happening is that the group of owners and the Players Association executive director are meeting on Tuesday to come up with, I don't know, maybe some sort of solution or at least have a discussion. In the meantime, the Wisconsin governor, Scott Walker, says it is wrong, and he says that it's divisive and it's a political sideshow, and instead, why don't they speak out against domestic violence? Whoa, in your face, governor. Because of the way things were handled when it came to domestic violence, and still, I think it's being handled poorly in many, many cases. Former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick started the protest, if you remember, last season when he refused to stand during the national anthem to protest racial inequality and police brutality. But Kaepernick's not in the league this year. Other players have decided they're going to take up the cause. What will it all mean? Let's see what they decide to do on Tuesday. What kind of a plan they devised to come up with. It was kind of the same show that we saw the past couple of weeks this past Sunday when it came to NFL teams. It was all about the handshake and the wink and the attaboy between, ready for this, Donald Trump, the president, and Mitch McConnell. They just kind of shored up that little bit of an alliance they have in the Rose Garden at a news conference, even though they have all these differences. It was a half an hour back and forth sort of kind of mini speech on a bunch of different topics. Mitch McConnell watched on, and at various points in front of the microphone, the president denounced the Russia Trump campaign investigation, talked about his record on judicial nominations, argued it took years for the Reagan administration to get taxes done, and said a couple of other things as well, mixed it into the conversation. And then he said about Mitch McConnell, we're probably now closer than ever. My relationship with this gentleman is outstanding, outstanding. And so really kind of a little bit different, because over the weekend, Steve Bannon, the former chief strategist for the president, declared all-out political, well, war on the establishment for the Republicans, including McConnell and incumbent Republican senators. Bannon said he thought they weren't worth being supportive of them. Trump said on Monday during a cabinet meeting that he can fully understand how Steve Bannon feels and even that some of the party should be ashamed of themselves. But he later suggested he might talk to Bannon and talk Bannon out of challenging some Senate Republicans whom McConnell has pledged to defend. Here's the problem. If this goes on, there's a great chance that the Democrats then would hold the majority if the Republicans, some of the Republicans aren't supported, that's what will happen. The last time McConnell was at the White House was last month, and then Trump bypassed him and Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan, remember, and he got chummy with Chuck Schumer and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi on the debt and spending. So I guess it's just another day of who knows what's going to happen. But I think he had to make some sort of a play with McConnell because the Republicans could be in trouble if they all, enough of them bail and they don't vote for Republicans, then the Democrats could sweep in and have the majority. That's exactly what, you know, that's exactly what would happen. And I think that's why. I think that's why that happened. I think that's why there was the rambling news conference in the Rose Garden, a little bit of awkwardness between the president and McConnell, then making up with McConnell, because of the problems that would be posed towards some who would not be reelected if there were enough people that turned away. I mean, let's put it that way. The president said about Obamacare, when he's asked about it today, it's dead, it's gone. He said it's a thing of the past, it's finished, it's done. You shouldn't even mention it. Obamacare does remain in effect. In most states, people can sign up for insurance coverage from November 1st to December 15th. But Trump has taken aim at Obamacare pretty recently. He signed that executive order, remember, on Thursday, that instructed his administration to rewrite some federal insurance rules. He also cut off federal subsidy payments to insurers that reduce costs for low and middle income people. And of course, that jolted the insurance industry over higher premiums that consumers could face. So how about that? We know that. We know what happened. And this is actually going to take time to implement. So it's not going to be any kind of an overnight fix, although he's right, how it's set up, Obamacare would be dead, would die because of subsidies and whatnot, and it would mean there would be competition and the state lines would be erased. So that does change the face of what it looks like at this point. But, of course, it also depends on who's elected, and he runs for re-election, and does Trump get re-elected, or who else is out there, and what does that look like? And right now it's just so wide open, it's very hard to prognosticate as to what will happen. You know, Harry Reid today was talking about Democrats retaking the Senate in 2018, that he thought that was a real possibility. Republicans have 52 seats to 48 for the Dems in the upper chamber, 33 senators and 23 Democrats, 8 Republicans, 2 independents are up for re-election next year. So, yeah, there could be some changing of the guard. Or not. There may not be. It depends on the mood of the voters and what state we're talking about, frankly, because it could make a big difference as to what state it is, as to who could be unseated. Everybody cares about polls in D.C. Trump's approval rating because of the hurricane response, they say, is down. What does that mean? We're going to talk about that on the flip side here on ATN.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm feeling
everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. 99 bucks for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Manipulate them in a lot of different ways or interpret them. But there's a CNN poll out that says the president's approval ratings on his handling of hurricane response is down 20%, and that's thanks to Hurricane Maria, which has left Puerto Rico devastated. They don't have power in a lot of cases and water. The poll was conducted by SSRS, and it shows that Trump's current approval on hurricane response is at 44%, so down from 64%. Following Hurricanes Harvey and Irma, which made landfall in Florida, respectively, and Texas. It's been horrific when it comes to hurricanes. I don't have to tell all of you, because we've been talking about it. And, you know, it's all about the response and how FEMA comes in and how you handle the people. And, of course, Puerto Rico was rough, but so were the other two spots, too, as well. So a little bit of a dip specifically tied to Puerto Rico and tied to that hurricane. In the meantime, some popcorn shots for you as I kind of peruse through what I call the library of nonsense that is happening in Washington, D.C., and serious issues, but some of the handling of it in the moments are ridiculous. So former FBI Director James Comey was working on his statement, his email statement, months before an announcement. So what does that mean? Apparently he's working on what he was going to say regarding Hillary Clinton's email case more than a couple of months or so before he recommended no charges to be filed against her. There was an email made public by the FBI on Monday that gave a little bit of a glimpse into this, and it talks about when Comey might have concluded Clinton's actions around setting up and using a private email system while she was Secretary of State did not constitute a crime. The one-sentence email from an FBI official said, "Please send me any comments on this statement so we may roll into a master doc for discussion with the director at a future date." So it was a forward of something Comey had written. It was sent in May of 2016 to several people within the FBI. Comey, remember, announced July 5th that they weren't recommending the charges be brought against Clinton. So Senator Charles Grassley, Republican from Iowa, Lindsey Graham, Republican from South Carolina, said in August that Comey drafted a memo about not recommending charges against Clinton as many as 4 months before he made the statements. You know, so here we go with fishy timelines and rolling back into history. Bottom line is Comey didn't know what he was doing. He was all over the map like Gumby, and when Gumby got caught in the middle of everything, he just kind of bent in a couple different directions. So, once again, another ex-weak FBI director who didn't appear so in the beginning, but then readily became that jellyfish when it was necessary for whatever purpose, in whatever direction. And that's a real popcorn shot for you. A real one. All right, how about this? As we look at this whole Corker thing, boy, this is a nightmare too, isn't it? So, Senator Bob Corker from Tennessee says he has yet to get a call from President Trump about their bitter feud, but he's got to believe they will eventually talk. He did an interview with Politico, and Corker said Vice President Mike Pence, the Treasury Secretary, and Secretary of State Rex Tillerson all have been dialed in. And Corker said, "I'll be here another 15 months. I got to believe I'll talk to the Prez again." He's the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, in case you don't know that. He retires after 2018, and he's been pretty blunt in taking a hammer, basically, and smashing it over Trump as to his volatility. And so Corker said, "I made the comments. I wasn't expecting anything in particular." He's talking about his public comments, which started in August with criticisms of the president that he hadn't exhibited the stability or some of the competence to lead the nation. He also said the White House was in a downward spiral and Tillerson was helping protect the world from chaos. And he told Politico, "You know, it's been building for a long time. It's been building over the last 4 months. Many of the things I've said publicly, I've had private conversations. So it's kind of where we're at. It's been a week. We'll see." Here's the bottom line. Corker must not know the president. Has he been playing along? Does he understand where the pieces fall on the board? So after he says what he says about the president, does he think that he's going to somehow get reeled back into his good graces? I mean, it's not like we're picking gym teams, and then when the bell rings, "Oh, I didn't mean to smash you in the head when I spiked the ball down, even though we were on the same team." I mean, see, here's the thing. Sometimes when you're playing on the same team, you got to make that decision. Are you protecting your teammate? Are you making them more vulnerable? Are you just going for blood? And if you're going for blood, then you got to own it. And so what I guess Corker doesn't realize is, Mr. Senator, you have got to own what you said because you said it. You said it, so don't weasel out of it. You're not going to get back in the good graces or have a friendship certainly going with the president. It's certainly not going to go anywhere. It's interesting because I was looking at some comments that some commentators had to say about Corker and how it doesn't help anyone and that's not what it's about and it doesn't help the president, it doesn't help Corker, it doesn't help the country, it doesn't help the Republican Party, and that's absolutely right. Of course it doesn't. It doesn't, you know, listen, Donald Trump is emotional and he reacts. He reacts to getting poked. He feels it. He takes it in, and then he lets it out. So once Corker decided he was going in that direction, that's what happens. You got to believe He's not talking to the president again unless the president feels like talking to him. Because there's, you know, he can swing the hammer in any direction he wants, but certainly the president does not have to decide, oh yeah, I'm going to be buddies with Bob again. I mean, look, Corker is leading an effort in Congress to write legislation setting new conditions for the U.S. role in the Iran situation. So, I don't know. You would think, well, maybe they do have to talk, because the president really defied a few people on Friday by refusing to certify that Iran is complying with an international agreement on its nuclear program, threatened he might ultimately terminate the agreement. But this is something we knew was going to happen. He talked about it. So he's not jumping back in with Corker. I don't see any reason why he would do it, especially if he's a short-termer, which he is. And that's, I think that's kind of an unfixable situation. I mean, if they're in the same place and it's completely awkward and there is a handshake or something, there's not going to be much more than that, I can tell you that. Just, yeah, not at all. And then finally, I love when we get these lists that, like this, New York City is a target, according to the FBI, after this bombing conviction. So there was a conviction of a New Jersey man in mostly what was, you'll remember this, the botched bombing mission in Manhattan last summer. And the head of New York City's FBI office at a news conference said, after a jury deliberated for about 4 hours over parts of 2 days, they convicted Ahmed Rahimi of all 8 charges against him. He credited all the officers in New Jersey, New York, for a really good case against this 29-year-old Rahimi. Evidence at the 2-week trial show he set off a pipe bomb along a Marine Corps charity race in Seaside Heights, New Jersey. And that was kind of the prelude to the evening bombing in Manhattan's Chelsea neighborhood that injured 30 people. People forget about that. So prosecutors say Rahimi was inspired by propaganda from Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State for years and planned a day of terror designed to kill Americans when he left his house with 2 pressure cooker explosives and 7 smaller bombs in a backpack. It's a miracle that nobody died. There's no question in my mind. But now they're talking about, well, now that the jury did what it did, unfortunately, New York City is a target. And we just have to remain diligent. Well, I think we all know that. Of course New York City is a target. It's our biggest, city. I say bravo that they got this conviction. And this is the word I like, airtight case, my friends. Air, it's a victory. Victory for New York City. Meet you on the flip side.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you, and you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight. In our virtual green room, Mike Eaton. He's the CEO and founder of Hero Clean, and he joins us now in this edition of It's Your Business. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so Hero Clean, and I guess the gist of it is how men can be cleaning heroes. So explain that, because, of course, you know, a lot of alarm bells are going off right now as this leaves my lips. So tell us about the company and what that means.
So about 4 years ago, I found myself in the laundry detergent aisle and going down the aisle and opening up the bottles and smelling them all and buying the least offensive smelling one I could find. And it dawned on me. I was like, this is ridiculous. I don't use women's deodorant. I don't use women's shampoo. Why am I being forced to clean my clothes and my home with products that are essentially formulated and fragranced for women? And I thought, it's curious that there aren't any cleaning products lines for men. And so I started doing a little research on kind of what was going on with men in the country as well. And right now in the United States, 47% of the adult male population in this country is single. And it's growing at double-digit clips every decade.
Wow.
And so between that and the fact that 43% of all household chores are being done by men in married households, 42% of all grocery is now being purchased by guys, just between 70 and 100 million guys walking into grocery stores and walking down the cleaning products aisle, and there's absolutely nothing there that speaks to them, that's formulated for them, that's created for them. And so as a single guy at the time, I was like, you know what? I want this. No one seemed willing to build it, and so I built it myself. So I created a cleaning products line for guys that really kind of is formulated and fragranced, et cetera, for the sensibilities of how guys clean and what they like, and the packaging's masculine, et cetera, et cetera. So I kind of basically just copied what everyone is doing down in the personal care aisle, and deodorant and shampoo and all of that, and translated over in the cleaning products aisle. And that's kind of how Hero was born.
So when you first delved into this, and you had a background in this kind of thing as far as brand marketing and even sponsorships in some cool arenas.
Yep.
So it was like a completely foreign concept to you. But is that what happens because you've worked with brands before? Like, wow, what a great idea. And it pops into your head as you realize.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The last 10 years of my career, I was kind of looking at entertainment properties and sports properties and trying to figure out how to make more money off them, so to speak. You know, I'm just kind of wired trying to figure out, well, maybe there's a different way to do things. And so, I don't know, it just kind of dawned on me in the grocery store. And selfishly, it was kind of the Donna Karen little black dress kind of business model as well, is that nobody was willing to build it, and so I built it myself because I wanted it, you know, and I didn't like what I was using to clean my clothes. I didn't like the way they smelled. I didn't like the cleaning products I was using because they were my mom's cleaning products. So I wanted to build something for myself, and that's what I did.
Wow. And when you go out and you set out to build something for yourself, how does that process start? Because I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, it's not for the faint of heart. So we, I had some friends who launched a sun care line, and they hooked me up with their fragrance house. And in talking to them and having this discussion, I'm like, I need somebody to help me formulate these products. They introduced me to a chemist, and kind of one thing led to the other, and he helped me kind of put together the original formulation line and introduced me to some contract manufacturers that kind of helped us kind of get off the ground. And since then, one relationship has led to another relationship. And, you know, a couple years later, we're now working with the world's top ingredients companies, manufacturing companies, fragrance companies, et cetera. You know, and since we've seen some success in the market, we actually have some first-to-market technologies in our product because we have such an interesting story and an interesting demographic that we're going after. There's a little bit of a groundswell of interest at the very high levels of some of these major companies just because we're kind of a new shiny toy in the cleaning products business where there aren't a lot of shiny toys.
And what's been the reaction to men that you tell it to and you see this product start to spread? What's been the reaction?
So, you know, interestingly enough, 50-year-old plus men don't get it. They're like, I don't even understand. Like, why would I need this product? You know, blah, blah, blah. Anyone in their 20s and early 30s immediately gets it. They're like, oh, my God, why doesn't this exist? So it's a very kind of generational differentiated reaction. But the group that we're going after is that, you know, those kids that just got out of college, first home, first job, up through kind of their mid-30s is our sweet spot. And the reaction has been absolutely fantastic because they come from a generation where customization and stuff made for them and, you know, they can put their names on their Nikes and order them directly. And so repurposing products from a different era and a different target demographic is not as welcomed as it had been in previous generations. And so we're kind of hitting on something with these guys that they seem to be open to.
Of all the products that you design, what's your favorite?
The odor eliminating spray, by far. It's interesting. So we launched at Target a year ago and sold our first bottle at Target. And Target's obviously got a different demographic in their stores in that it's very female-oriented. But the one demographic that kind of we also know that if we're going to be a successful brand, we need to get women to buy this as well. There are no products out there right now that moms can spray on little Johnny's hockey equipment where everybody's going to be happy. So if little Johnny's hockey equipment doesn't smell well and she goes and smell good and she sprays Febreze on it, well, Johnny's not going to be very happy. Our odor eliminating spray was purchased 60% by women in Target because it's the only spray in Target right now that doesn't smell like flowers. And so we're seeing an interesting kind of market grow in that there are odor issues out there, that there aren't a lot of solutions that aren't floral based. And so we've seen a lot of success with that odor eliminating spray. The reason I love the product myself, it is so easy to use and it's kind of our delay mechanism. So if you have something that doesn't smell great and you just kind of want to freshen it up a little bit, whether it's hockey equipment, your tennis shoes, sheets, a T-shirt, just spray it with this stuff. It smells great. We've got technologies in our new odor eliminating spray. We've got a microbe in it. It's a probiotic microbe that starves bacteria. So the odor is really the bacteria. So it doesn't allow the bacteria to grow because it has nothing to feed off of. And then it prevents it from ever growing down the road. So there's some really cool, interesting technologies we have in these products that really kind of lead to how guys clean and, you know, the clean, delay male cleaning regimen. This odor eliminating spray is that mechanism where you can continue to not clean and still have the appearance of cleanliness.
I love it. The appearance of cleanliness. So as somebody who knows how to market this kind of stuff, I mean, that's in your real house. I know that you can get it on Amazon. What made you decide on the packaging and how you were going to make it available to people?
So there's a couple things. Right now, our product line out in the marketplace, it's four different products. It's a laundry detergent, a dish and hand soap, an all-purpose cleaner, and the odor eliminating spray that we discussed. The product line was put together to mimic a male cleaning regimen of that clean, delay. This is the least number of products you would need to clean everything. And our products are multi-use. You can use it on everything, and they're not going to hurt anything. So, for example, you know, the major cleaning companies would love to have you buy 17 different spray cleaners to clean every little different surface. Like, you need one for wood and tile and marble, and it's all the same stuff, basically. And so our all-purpose cleaner you can use on every surface. Our dish and hand soap, it's great on hands, it's great on dishes, it's good grease cutter if you need to make soapy water to wash your car, mop your floor. It's all very flexible. We spent a lot of time trying to figure out, all right, how can we make this guy easy, simplify this whole process if guys don't clean a lot and they're kind of confused with those myriad of products down there. From a packaging standpoint, we wanted to make sure that it felt very male. So we have a new branding and packaging look that's launching actually next week. And the products that are out in the marketplace right now are very kind of modeled after automotive-looking products. And we had a lot of reaction from the retailers that it looks a little too automotive. And so our new packaging is going to be dark. It's going to be very much like Axe and Nivea for men and Dove Plus Care for men. So we have like gunmetal gray bottles, and the labels are black with carbon fiber texture on it. And so we went super aggressive. So when somebody walks down the cleaning products aisle, they look at our brand, they're going to know it's for guys because it'll look so different than anything else in that aisle. And we're really just trying to make that connection to say, you know, hey, listen, if you walk down the personal care aisle, you kind of get a sense that everything's going dark and manly and all that with the men's personal care products. We're just recreating that in the cleaning products aisle.
I love it. And, you know, you're a kid who grew up this way, right? Your father worked for Procter & Gamble for like four decades?
He was a career Procter & Gamble guy, for sure. Yeah, he's been retired for 18, 19 years, and kind of the running joke in the family is, Dad, I'm trying to ruin your retirement. For some reason, he doesn't feel threatened at the moment, but hopefully we can change that.
He's not threatened. I love it. Here's another thing I want to make sure that I tell everyone.
Yeah.
So for hero-clean.com is where you go, but also a portion of what you make goes to veterans. Tell me about that part.
Yeah, so we wanted to be a company that, you know, obviously creates great products. We're trying to create a new category in the cleaning products aisle, but we also want to give back. And when the brand started evolving in the hero name and the star, it just screamed military. And so back when I was putting this all together, a friend of a friend was starting a charity called the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. There's a guy named Paul Rykoff, and he's ex-military, ex-Wall Street, fireball. I mean, super, you know, he's the Energizer Bunny. And he created this charity that really focuses on a lot of PTSD issues. They're very involved in a lot of the government regulations as far as the VA hospitals, and he's one of those guys who's sitting in senator and house member offices all the time. And he was just getting off the ground when we were getting off the ground. We sat down, we met, and we have very similar views of our respective worlds as far as disruption, and there's a different way to do this and all of that, and it just kind of clicked. And so we've been partnered with them. We give 7% of our net sales to them, and we bring them to our retailer meetings. So, for example, Paul and I are actually going up and sitting down with the senior management of Target in a few weeks to come up with new ways that they can help veterans that work at Target and their guests that are also vets So we want to be one of those companies that doesn't just write a check. We want them to be a part of the fabric of our company. And so we're doing that on a daily basis, trying to figure out new and better ways for our brand to also help them try to make it a successful run for us.
I love it. Check it out. Mike Eaton, CEO and founder of Hero Clean. Mike, thanks.
Thanks so much for having me.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, J.P. Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Google has all but banned the movie series What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. Go to www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.
Starting. 383.
Well, I've been talking about it at the start of this series. So many interesting pieces of history happening between the tribe and the Cubs. And the fact that, you know, everybody has burned in their brains 1908, the last time the Cubs won a World Series, over 100 years. But there's history on the side of the Cleveland Indians, too. And this is, I think, a fall classic that a lot of people are going to be talking about. So excited to have Professor Luke Salisbury on with us. He's in our virtual green room. He's a baseball expert and author of a lot of sports books, including The Answer is Baseball, The Cleveland Indian, Blue Eden, and Hollywood and Sunset. I love that title. And also several others as well, and he's contributed to a lot of books. His resume is so long that if I just went down that path, we would never get to talk to Luke. I do want to mention this, though. He was also featured in AMC's Diamonds on the Silver Screen and HBO's Curse of the Bambino and wrote the Crank column for Boston Baseball. Luke, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm so excited about tonight. So excited.
Boy, so am I. So, I mean, here's the deal. When we look at this, and this is a question I keep getting asked, who's going to win this series, and why do you think they're going to win it? Is it going to be the Chicago Cubs, or let's not forget about the Cleveland Indians?
Well, the Cubs have so much talent. Theo Epstein, who, of course, put together the team that broke the curse in Boston, looks like he's doing the same thing in Chicago, and you just can't give him enough credit. But, you know, I'm an American League fan. If it isn't the Yankees, I root for the American League team. And having gotten so interested in the original Cleveland Indian, how the team got its name and who he was, I must say I'm rooting for the Indians. And they are on a roll. And it's funny because when you call a team of destiny, it usually means they don't have the talent, perhaps, to do what they're doing. And the Indians have steamrolled everybody, especially the Red Sox. So I'm picking the Indians, but that's David versus Goliath.
It is David versus Goliath. And people forget, and you know you've been watching, that the Indians have speed. I mean, they led the league in stolen bases. And, you know, there's some Cub pitchers that have problems keeping guys on bases. I think that this series, by the way, could even go the distance, could be 7 or 6. What do you think?
Well, if it does, I hope they bring out Charlie Sheen. Throw out the pitch in the seventh game. And maybe the Cleveland Indians should bring Steve Bartman, who, of course, was involved in that awful thing with the ball, to lead a goat out onto the field for the seventh game. But and of course, the pitcher, you make a very good point about Cub pitchers holding men on base. It's John Lester, the former Red Sox, who discovered when he got to the National League, where they run the bases all the time, that he doesn't like throwing to first base. I think it would be very smart of the Indians to bunt and run on John Lester.
Yeah, I certainly do, too. Do you think more people are interested in baseball again? Have we bounced back to a love of baseball? It seems like the numbers are up and the interest is up.
Well, it's very interesting because baseball managed to extend itself from a 2.5-hour game to almost a 4-hour game. It really has totally changed to something where it produces statistics for fantasy players, commentary on ESPN, and highlights. And I understand that the Tony La Russa style of getting the most out of every at-bat, you know, have it go 10 or 12 pitches, wear out the pitcher. From the seventh inning on, you're using almost a pitcher for every out. And this may well be the best way to win, but it takes so long. It's boring. And the only thing I'm not looking forward to tonight is how late the game may run. It has become a game of bullpens, at least as much as starting pitchers. And look at what Andrew Miller has done for the Cleveland Indians. Who would have thought a middle inning relief pitcher might be the most important pitcher on their staff?
Boy, isn't that the truth. When you look at the connection, you mentioned the Yankees and you look at the Boston Red Sox, how connected are those two teams actually when you look at the players on the field to the two teams that were actually watching in this World Series?
Well, you think that Theo Epstein, the general manager who broke the Red Sox curse, is the Cubs general manager. Terry Francona, the manager, and believe me, it's hard to manage in Boston because everybody is after you if you don't win every game. And how he survived 8 years here is a testimony. I mean, he could be in the United Nations. He's also an excellent manager on the field. The two managers, Joe Maddon, who's sort of universally considered the best manager in baseball, and I would have to agree, against Terry Francona, who might be the second best manager. So that's interesting. Then there's a whole number of ex-players. The Cubs took Anthony Rizzo, who had been in the Red Sox system. He had over 30 home runs for them. John Lester and John Lackey, who pitched the Red Sox to World Series, are on the Cubs. You know, David Ross, John Lester's personal catcher, came from the Red Sox. On the other side, Coco Crisp, the switch-hitting outfielder, who, by the way, knows how to box in case there's trouble on the field. He was an ex-Red Sox. So it's just really, really interesting. It's almost Theo versus Theo.
I love that, Theo versus Theo. And what's great about Theo is that he's so young, right?
Well, when he became the Red Sox general manager, he was 28. And you would know this if you lived in Boston, but your listeners may not know that Theo Epstein's father, Leslie Epstein, is a very good novelist, ran the BU Creative Writing Program, which I happen other Hollywood movie. So you're talking about an extremely talented family. And when I was in the BU writing program, I was working on the novel, The Cleveland Indian, a fictionalized version of that first Indian. And who knew that Leslie's 10-year-old son was going to be the general manager of the Red Sox and the Cubs? And I must tell you one Theo story. When he was 10 years old, he's watching the Red Sox. His father comes by and says, "Who's winning?" Theo doesn't even turn around and says, "The center fielder's playing out of position." So you're talking about a very intelligent and sharp family. And so I am somewhat divided knowing the Epsteins. Yes, I'd be happy if the Cubs won, but I am basically an American League fan. And having written about Louis Sokolexis, the original Indian and the original Cleveland Indian, I've got to pull for the underdog in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. Been pulling for the underdog. The fact that the Cubs, it's just so funny, the fact that the Cubs finally got here, wasn't it interesting that Cub fans, are they always just expecting the other shoe to drop?
Well, it's interesting. Whether players feel pressure from a curse, they certainly feel pressure to win. Fans certainly do. Like, I believe there were two things constant in the universe, the speed of light and the fact the Red Sox would never win a World Series during my lifetime. Now they tell us some subatomic particles might go faster than the speed of light, and the Red Sox have won three times. And I don't want to do a spoiler alert for Cub fans, but it's interesting. When your team hasn't won, it's the Holy Grail. And I used to feel like I almost had to watch every game and root. I was willing to sell my soul for them to win the World Series, which maybe I did. And then they win, and they win a couple more, and it's wonderful, and you feel great for a couple of years. But now they're just sort of another team. You know, there's something absolutely magic about something you can't have.
Boy, and, that's a truth, isn't it?
You know, but on the other hand, you know, when the Red Sox won, and this will happen in either of the two cities, you had people going to cemeteries taking Red Sox hats and letters that said, "Grandpa or Dad, they finally did it." And there was a wonderful sense of good feeling. And so some good will come out of it, but then afterwards you look at it, it's like, oh, you know, we don't have the curse of the Bambino. We're not the goat curse. You know, we're not the Chicago Cubs. This happened to the Phillies in 1980. They had never won a World Series, and they won. And then a few years later, it's like, well, they're just another team. But that
you're just another team.
Yeah, that doesn't take anything away from how exciting it's going to be and how much the fans do care about it. And let's hope that Steve Bartman has let off the hook, that poor Notre Dame graduate who grabbed the ball, as any of us might have, in a playoff game, one in 03, and was just pilloried. Now, here, we pilloried Bill Buckner, but Bill Buckner was on the field when the ball went through his legs. That's a little different than a fan allegedly interfering with something. But I must say that scapegoats are always needed in the biggest stage. If you make a mistake, Super Bowl or World Series, it's in your obituary. It is never forgotten.
Boy, that's so, the truth. That is the truth. And never forgotten. I love it. This was great info. There's no question about it. The answer is baseball. The Cleveland Indian, Blue Eden in Hollywood and Sunset. Luke Salisbury, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.